All right, guys, welcome back to the Warrior Unfiltered podcast. This is episode 4 with myself, Harry, and co-host Henry. So today's topic, we are going to be discussing when is the right time to compete. So I think, Henry, if we start off with looking at, obviously, first-timers, what would you say would be like the foundational pillars that we'd be looking at as coaches and even just as individuals who are considering to compete in terms of like their physique? Before they begin.
Yeah, okay. So firstly, body composition. Like, you've got to be within a 40 at a most for a bigger guy, 50 pound proximity to stage weight to start a prep. If you are 100 pounds over what would be, I mean, because you can't gauge it by eye, but you can have a rough idea, right? But you need to be in a proximity that you can actually get the fat tissue off. Then obviously looking at muscularity. So on the muscularity one, for me, I'm obviously it depends on what class you're looking at. But if someone wants to get on stage, I think realistically your first showing is always going to be your smallest. Like if you want to get on stage and you want to do it to experience it, to decide whether you actually like bodybuilding when it gets to it, then I don't see an issue with someone getting on stage just to experience it, because at the end of the day, last thing you want to do is try and grow for 5 years. Prep comes around when you're like 250 and you're like, actually, I really don't like this. So I think I'm not too concerned about level of muscularity. Obviously you need some muscle, but for me, what I'm looking at when looking at a physique is, have you firstly got too much body fat to start a prep? Do we need to do some work beforehand to get you in a position where you can start?
Yeah, I agree. I think obviously there'll be a tangible aspect to what you said there that we'll touch on in a minute. But I think to touch on this from my perspective, I would obviously agree that the foundational pillar is the level of muscularity to begin with. Rightly so, you are going to be at your smallest going into your first competitive season. But how much muscularity that you're holding, I think, is relative to the criteria that you're going into. Like men's physique, you're not going to be looking at sitting around 250 pounds for your first show. So it is largely relative to the criteria that you're moving into. Would you say like aspects such as training age, so how long somebody's been training for, their level of execution, their proximity of intensity, would that be pernicent at all? Do you reckon?
Yeah, obviously. So we were speaking about how someone looks before, but then there's obviously a lot of other factors. So training being one, someone who can't train efficiently is not going to be able to maintain their muscle for a dieting phase. I think there's a lot of foundational work that you need to put in before you can get in a position where, because let's be honest, when we're looking at physique development, the hardest task you can do in the physique development realm is put yourself in a competition. You are essentially putting yourself to be judged against other people. Therefore, like that's where it then becomes the hardest, because you are now in a position where you need to beat other people, because there's only one winner. It's the only time within physique development you either win or lose, essentially.
Yeah, that would obviously kind of come under the umbrella of like the psychological aspects of it.
Yeah.
You know, as you say, you're going into this competition knowing that you are going to be critiqued and judged, not by only the judges, but also everybody else, you know, people on social media, other coaches, other athletes, the people in the audience. So you have to have that kind of mental fortitude and stability to be able to handle that going in for the first time. I think obviously touching on the training aspect, I think to kind of contextualize, I think when we're looking at beginning the first competitive season, we're looking at obviously natural individuals. I think it's probably not relevant to get into like assisted individuals for like their first show. So obviously if we're looking at just natural people stepping on stage for the first time, I believe that training is a key component, because like you said, we're looking at obviously preserving that muscle tissue throughout, so they don't have the assistance from those compounds. So, you know, the ability to execute exercises as efficiently as possible, to be able to generate enough force production, that intensity, in my opinion, I think it's largely important.
Yeah, and also you got to remember, as you get deeper into a prep, lower body fat, injury risk comes up. Therefore, if your training accuracy is shit, like, you're going to get hurt. So, I think the foundations are, you need a good few years in the gym. I like, with dieting and stuff, not so much. Like, that side of things is something that can be learned whilst on prep. Ideally, you want to have experienced some sort of dieting before, but training, for sure. Like, if you can't train safely in an off season or in a growing phase, the risk when you then go into a deficit is just going to be, it's going to be a lot higher in terms of injury. So firstly, you're running the issues of, you're not going to be able to preserve your muscle. Secondly, you're probably going to get hurt. It's probably not a good idea to go straight into that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think obviously it's a bit of a given from a nutritional standpoint. You're just looking at essentially adherence. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you need to focus on, whether you're a beginner or a pre-existing competitor. So also, if we just briefly cover, like, from a financial and mental status perspective, I think we already kind of covered the mental side of things. You've got to have that mental fortitude and stability to be able to go through this arduous prep. And, you know, you have to obviously go through the sacrifices of going through phases of being ravenously hungry. You're going to be tired. You're going to be very fatigued. Obviously, if you've got people who are competing and also they have a standard 9-to-5 job, you know, how can they juggle the two? How can they handle that? But then, like, from a financial standpoint, we won't go into detail about, like, how much it can cost, because obviously it's all relative. But I think that's a common aspect that's overlooked from a lot of people. They just see, obviously, working on social media, they see all the accolades, they see all the validation, they see people in their best condition ever, and they're like, that's what I want. And then you often see a lot of people drop out just because they cannot afford it. So, say, to summarize there, you need to make sure before you go into this prep, you're financially in a comfortable position to be able to afford everything. Maybe, you know, sit down with your coach or somebody else or on your own and just try and quantify everything on average. How much are you looking at trunks? How much are you looking for your tan registration, the class that you're entering? How many shows are you going to be doing across that year? Your gym membership, supplementation, food, et cetera, et cetera. And then you can get a rough idea, a ballpark of what it might cost you for that duration of prep. And then you can see, right, is it feasible for me? And then you can make that decision.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, prep is a very stressful thing to do anyway. The last thing you want on your mind is, can I afford to actually enter this show? The very first time I tried prep, I didn't finish it in 2021. I remember messaging my coach about 4 months before we started prep and saying, ballpark, how much money do I need for this? Like, and I saved up for 4 months, so I had that money waiting, because I just thought to myself, the last thing I want to do is get into the thick of it and go, actually, this is costing me a lot of money. Where am I now going to get this money from? Like, you don't want that stress on top of the stress of because prep, it's a mental battle. You're worrying about, am I going to be ready on time? You don't want to be even worrying about, have I got enough money for this on top of that as well.
Yeah, I think that also coincides with, like, you said earlier about, you know, whether you actually enjoy the prep and that whole experience. You don't want to waste all that time and all that money to then realize you don't enjoy it. So, you know, collectively, you need to think about all of these aspects before you just delve into it because of what you see on social media. And then I think if we just briefly touch on, like, expectations and the why. So, like, people's expectation when they go into a prep. In my opinion, again, everybody is just, they're overwhelmed by what they see on social media. Primarily, they see all these people in the best condition. They see them obviously happy. They see them with their awards, and they see them obviously on social media with people sharing their stories and getting all of this engagement, and people want that. But they don't think about the journey that they have to embark on. They only think of that end destination. So, you know, you have to put it into perspective and realize that there is a journey that you have to embark on to begin with in order to get to that final destination. And are you willing to put yourself into that position and go through all of those adversities?
Yeah. And this is why I said, do one sooner rather than later, because this is something you are never going to know until you start and do it. Everyone can tell you, prep's hard, prep's hard. And you'll just listen and you'll go, It's only dieting. You get what I mean? Like, it's from a face value, it doesn't sound hard. And to put it in perspective, there is a lot harder things you can go through in life than prep. Let's be honest. It's just because I don't want it to sound like, I don't want it to come across strange. Like, if you can afford to prep, if you can afford to eat six meals a day, you live a very privileged life. It's challenging. Prep's challenging, but there's a lot harder things you can be going through. Yeah. But it's one of those things. You'll either love it or hate it. You'll love it because you're doing it for the right reasons, or you'll hate it because you're doing it for social media or to show off to other people. If you're doing it for the wrong reasons, you're going to hate it. And I think the only way you can find that out is by just giving it a go. Just try.
100%. I think that correlates with the why aspect. You know, this is something that I use within my application form for any athletes that sign up on my team. Is we like to address the why. You know, what is the reason behind you stepping on stage? If that why is just not strong enough, if there's not enough integrity behind that why, then as you said, you're not going to follow through. You're not going to be able to see it all the way to the end, because a lot of people tend to, I know I keep going back to social media, but a lot of people tend to do it just because they want to seek that validation. They want to feel accepted. They want to be part of this community, and they want instant fame. They want all of this engagement, the likes, the views, or they're doing it to prove somebody else that they can't do it. Like, that's all well and good, but that in and of itself is just not going to be sufficient to get you all the way to the end. There's got to be a stronger why that's going to really help pull you through those difficult times.
Yeah, you've essentially just got to love bodybuilding for what it is and for the personal development. Not if you are doing your own, like going through your own bodybuilding as a means to prove something to someone external and not yourself, it's not going to be a fun time for you. I mean, the reason I enjoy bodybuilding, I am never going to be a great bodybuilder, but I just really fucking enjoy it. Like, I just love it. Like, that's why I do it. If I didn't enjoy it, if I woke up tomorrow and thought, you know what, I've had enough of this. Like, I can't be arsed with this prep anymore. Yeah. I'd message Tom and go, it's not for me anymore, mate. Yeah. And simple as that. To this point, I've never felt like that. That's why I'm still doing it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people they struggle to come to that acceptance of they perceive it as they're a failure if they don't want to do it, or they don't have that adoration for bodybuilding like they thought they did. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. You know, and like you said, it always comes back to, you've just got to give it a go. It's like anything. Yeah. If you're watching a new program, a new series on Netflix, you're not going to know if you like it or not until you start it. And if you don't like it, you don't have to watch it because it's the most popular series that's trending on social media. It's just like, okay, it's not for you. Move on. It's the same with bodybuilding. You're not going to know until you try it. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. Move on. There's nothing wrong with, even if you don't like it, or if you try it but you can't do it, if you cannot sustain the prep and everything that comes with it, then it doesn't make you a failure.
No.
It just means it's not for you.
Yeah.
But it's the problem. Go on.
Sorry, go on. A very good example of this is my guy, James. Like, yeah, he's never prepped before. He's done a photo shoot, but he started this prep, and when a new athlete starts prep, you always think, I wonder like how they're going to get on. I obviously had high expectations of James in from a physique sense, but you're never going to know until they start it. And every single week, like, you can tell when someone loves this shit. Like, he will message me every day and go, what are we doing with this? What are we doing with this? And sometimes you just message me and go, like, I love this. Like, I'm really enjoying this. And like, he's like in a position where he's dragging ass now. Like, his glutes are starting to come in. He's at like that last bit condition wise. And he is just genuinely over the moon to be doing it. And yeah, it's struggling, but he's just enjoying the process. And that's why, to me, he probably will be in this industry for a long time and do a lot of preps, because it's something he really enjoys to do.
I think kind of getting off topic a little bit, but another key indication to me of somebody who loves what they're doing and enjoys the whole prep process is the ones who are checking in every single week, because they're loving it. They're loving the process. They're excited for what's the next step. What are we doing next? What are we doing this week? Look at the changes. They want that feedback. We get other people where, you know, they're not checking in all the time. Like, caveat is there's going to be some people they might not check in on one day because they're busy or they slept in or whatever, but the ones who are there always on ball, always consistent, you can see and you can just tell from their check-ins, they're loving it. They can't wait that next challenge.
Yeah. James hasn't missed a check-in with me for 2 years. Yeah. Not one.
Yeah, that just goes to show straight away. Yeah, you got a good athlete there. I think obviously the tangible aspect that I mentioned earlier, and this is something that I really wanted to focus on and emphasize in this podcast, this episode, is this prevalent narrative that I'm seeing, and I find it so confounding, where you see a lot of people where they're looking at, they're contemplating whether to compete or not. And then you, as a coach or just as a friend, you approach them. Oh, what are you doing? Are you going to compete this year? And then this narrative is always, I'm not ready yet. I feel small. I feel like I need more size. I need to put more tissue on. But the problem is I think if we start off with looking at the issue that I see with this is, what is your reference point? So if you're that individual and you're saying, I don't feel like I'm ready yet, I'm not big enough. Okay, well, what are you comparing that to? Because in order to say to yourself, objectively and also subjectively, whether you feel like you're contentious to be competing for the top podium, is you need to be in condition to begin with. You need to have that foundational set point. And then also you need to step on stage with other athletes. So then you can compare yourself subjectively at a lean body fat percentage, but then objectively against all the other athletes. And then you can see from that, okay, am I big enough? Do I need to come away for a little bit longer? And then that'll give you an idea of how long you need to come away for. Do you need to come away for 12 months or 2 years? But these people that have never stepped on stage before, they're just saying, oh, I don't feel big enough. Well, if that's the case, if that's the narrative, then you're never going to step on stage because there's always going to be somebody bigger than you.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I've got, because you won't mind me saying, a guy I work with who was going to prep this year. So Harry, you know, and he's not a small guy. He's got a lot of muscle. And he didn't want to prep this year because I think he doesn't think he's big enough. And I think a lot of it is a concern of, and because generally I think he doesn't think he's big enough. And he's big enough to compete. But I think people are just so worried about what if I go and I am the smallest there? Is it, and I think there's obviously a worry of the embarrassment factor that people have of that. But at the end of the day, he could now put on 30 pounds and turn up next year and there'd be an absolute monster in his class that's 40 pounds heavier. Like, you can't control that. The one thing you can control is coming in at your best, and then every season you then compete following that, just get progressively bigger, progressively better, a more well-polished athlete. And that's how you progress up the ranks. But I think you need to do that first show to see where you stand. Essentially what I'm doing this year, like, I'm not a big athlete. Like, I know for a fact that me stepping on stage this year, I am going to be outsized in most of my classes. Yeah. But as long as I bring condition to the table, then I've ticked all the boxes that I can personally. And then wherever I want, that's where I fall. And then I know from a benchmark, and then I'll have judges' feedback, all of that sort of stuff, which is really helpful, what I need to then go and do before I then come back on stage. And that's how you progress.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's obviously two ends of the spectrum where you said, like with Harry as an example, where he says, oh, obviously we're not putting words into his mouth, but from like the interpretation that you've given me, you're saying, okay, well, what if I am the smallest guy? Okay, well, the other end of the spectrum is, what if you're the biggest guy?
Yeah.
But no, everybody's always thinking about that negative. Oh, what if I am the smallest guy on stage? But there is also the possibility that you could be the biggest guy. But again, you just will not know. It sounds cliche that we just keep going back to the same thing, which is you never know until you just do it. So ultimately, that is just the answer.
Just funny enough, you could be the biggest guy at your first show, come back 30 pounds later, like 30 pounds heavier 2 years later, and then be the smallest guy in the class. Like, it's you can, the one thing you cannot control is who is going to show up on the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always said you just have to play to your strengths. So as you said, for an example, you don't have the level of muscularity that the majority of other people do. So there's no point trying to chase that. You might as well just play to your strengths and your advantages, which is condition. My advantage is I do have that density. I do have a lot of muscle tissue on my frame, but then my weakness is I haven't reached that true level of condition. So I'm playing to my strength, which is the fullness, but I'm also trying to chase that condition. But the point that I'm just trying to make here is that you cannot always just try and focus on the one thing that you don't have. Focus on the strengths that you do have as well.
I mean, let's put it in perspective with people at the top level. Who is the smallest guy in the 2-on-2 class?
Yeah, exactly.
The person who holds the title for the last 2 years.
Yeah, Sean Corrida.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I mean. Just you, bodybuilding shows aren't won just on the biggest guy, because if they are, you'll just get some big lumps like Eddie Hall turning up with a pretty poor structure and loads of body fat, and they just win everything because they've got the most muscle. It's bodybuilding. It's not just who can be the largest individual on stage.
Yeah, 100%. I think that obviously leads to this, like these people just adopting this impulsive excess, like excuse habit, where they just feel like every season I'm just not going to compete. And then before you know it, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, they're still in that same position with that same narrative of I'm just not big enough. And then you're just stuck.
Do you believe that is the actual reason a lot of people do it, or is it just because they know they probably can't get through a prep? They love the bodybuilding side of things, of they like the routine, they like the off season, but when it comes down to like the nitty gritty bit of prep, they sort of know that's not for them. But you know, I mean, they're more of sort of like a hobby bodybuilder more than anything.
Just making excuses essentially.
There's nothing wrong with being that person.
No,
like
no.
If you want to just bodybuild, get a good rig for your own enjoyment, that's fine. But don't try and convince yourself that you want to be a competitive bodybuilder. If you're, just don't lie to people. Like if you
don't be deceitful to other people. Don't make these excuses and be like, oh, I just need another off season. Just be like, look, it's not for me. I don't want to step on stage. Everybody that bodybuilds, they don't have to by default compete. If you want to just bodybuild for the sake of bodybuilding and you want to get absolutely massive, that's all well and good. Do it. Have at it.
I know some great physiques that have never stepped on stage that could do real damage if they did, but they just, some people just don't want to, and that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Obviously, again, it comes down to social media, and not even just social media, it's people within that gym environment as well, putting that pressure onto them. So I think the takeaway point would be, from our perspective, is if you just enjoy bodybuilding for the sake of bodybuilding, you don't have to compete regardless what other people say. Even if they say that you've got a lot of potential, most of the time, 9 out of 10 times, people just doing that because they either want to try and take you as a client and profit from you, or they just want to like offset a load of drugs on you.
Yeah. That's the thing. If someone told me I had potential to be a good tennis player, I'd be like, yeah, but I don't like it, so I'm not going to do it. So it's just the same with this, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And I think from there, is there like anything else to touch on for what to consider for a first timer? Yeah.
So this is one that I find, this is one that really winds me up. Like I'm going to go off on this one. I can't stand it with people who go into a prep who aren't emotionally stable and who take it out on people around them by just being like, just becoming a horrible person. I think that's one to touch on, because this is something, because the way I've started prep, people like, because Em works in the industry as well, people saying, oh, well, Henry's going to be grouchy, he's going to be this. There is absolutely, like, if you are not in touch with your own emotions and you can't control yourself emotionally, prep is going to be testing. Do not do a prep if you are going to take it out on people around you, because it's your choice and they don't deserve to be treated like shit just because you are dieting.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I'm actually quite glad that you brought that up, because this is a conversation I've had quite a few times actually with my partner. It's just shedding that light on the fact that it is a choice. You're going into this out of choice. Nobody has forced you to do it. Nobody has put a gun to your head. You are choosing to do that. Now, I think, don't misconstrue that with saying that you cannot be miserable. You cannot complain. Of course you can, but complain to yourself. Don't take that anger out or the hunger or the tiredness out on other people around you just because you're feeling irritable or ravenous or whatever it may be. It's not their fault. And especially the people who are trying to be supportive towards you. You know, the ones who end up getting it the most are the ones that are in your circle 24/7. So if you're obviously a male or female and you've got your partner in the house, you live together, they're most likely the ones to get the full brunt of it. But that's completely unfair because yeah. they're the ones that are going to be supporting you the most. And yes, we understand we will have those moments where we do kind of snap and it might be unintentional, but you have to constantly remind yourself, this is a choice. You're doing this off of your own will.
Yeah. It's you cannot justify being a dick just because you're on prep. It's not, it's completely unfair. And I think so when I am sort of looking at, it's a conversation you have to have with your athletes. And I've spoken to them before, like, or everyone I've got on a prep and just say, like, mentally, how are you doing? Are you finding that? Because at the end of the day, everyone on prep, you are going to have a slightly shorter temper. You are going to find things that you didn't find irritable before, irritable. Like, you're going to get annoyed quickly. But it's your decision whether you let that out. Like, so if you're a person who struggles to control stuff like that, if you're quite a snappy person as it is and you don't really have control of your emotions like that, especially when it's directed at other people,
yeah.
you don't, prep's not for you because people don't deserve that. And like you said, the people around you who are going to get the brunt of it are probably the people who are trying to support you the most, and that's completely unfair.
It is selfish as well. I think obviously it's, to put it in the quote that I like, is it's not the action, it's the reaction. So everybody will blame the action that's causing their reaction, but it's not. It's just your reaction to that action. So whatever it may be, you know, if you're just waking up, you're feeling tired or you stub your toe and then that's it. It ruins the rest of your day. It's the reaction to the action that's causing the problem. It's not the action itself. So you just have to constantly remind yourself that. And you have full control of how you respond and how you react to those situations. But I think, yeah. obviously, it's easier said than done. It is 100% easier said than done, because I say this and I'm a little bit of a contradict here, because I have done that. I have done that myself, where I have taken it out, like my first prep. I think it's different for those who are going to be competing for the first time, because obviously the novelty of that experience, it's going to be difficult to kind of like preempt how they react to those situations. Because I know, like, my first prep that I'd done, I took a lot out on my mother at the time. But then at the end, I kind of like come to my senses, realization, oh, I did wrong, so I apologize. So it's easier said than done. But I think bringing it up here in this episode, it'll just shed some light for other people.
And there will be times you fuck up. Like, even this prep, I've been a touch snap. Like, I'm never rude, but a little bit snappy or quiet with Em occasionally. And I just text her and go, you know what, I was just fucking shattered this morning. Apologies, and that's fine. But it's when you're getting to the point where you're genuinely being like nasty to be around constantly. Because let's be honest, you're gonna snap at people regardless if you're on prep or not. But it's to the extent where, like, I'm seeing people who are on prep now putting stories up, and you can just tell that they're becoming like not nice people anymore. Yeah. And you just think, like, the thing you've got to remember is just because how you feel inside, like, you feel pretty shit. Other people don't really understand what you're doing. Therefore, they're just interpreting this as like, why is he being an absolute dick now? Like, yeah, he's dieting, but I don't understand it because I've never felt it. So to them, it's a lot, like, it comes across a lot worse than you would imagine it does for those people, especially if they're not in the industry as well. So one thing you've got to remember is prep's 20 weeks. Like, you could be destroying relationships that you've had for years over something that realistically, for a first-timer show, is it worth like destroying a 5-year relationship over? Probably not.
No, not for just a plastic trophy at the end of it. it's like,
that's if you win.
Yeah, that's if you win. That's if you win. Yeah. Can you imagine if you go through all that and you come dead last and then just ruin a 5-year relationship?
Yeah.
What a poor outcome. Yeah, like,
yeah, they just go, so what, you're being a dick all the time, just
for nothing. And you can't even win a show. Yeah. I'm quite annoyed that that one slipped my mind, because obviously, like, within my consultation calls that I have with new athletes, I tend to suggest to them, like, bring your partner, if you have a partner, into the consultation call, so that they're also involved. They feel like they're involved of that prep, and then you can have a discussion with both of them, and then you can kind of like set those non-negotiables, rather than just talking to that one individual, that athlete, and just be like, right, this is what we're going to go through. Fuck your partner. She or he has to just accept everything. Get them involved as well. Let them know. Speak to the partner. Yeah. Say, like, what are their, like, their values? What are their needs? What is their, like, their limits, their boundaries? And then you can come to that consensus.
Yeah. Essentially, to overcap it, you need to be in a position where you are strongly in touch with your emotions. Your relationship is in a very stable spot if you're in a relationship. Even your relationship with your family is in a relatively strong spot, because it is going to put somewhat of a strain on it. Yeah. To the extent of that strain, very person dependent on how you handle things. But as a whole, these are some of the basic principles you need to be in terms of, like, mental position before entering something like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on top of that, just the financial aspects. Just try and make sure that you're financially in a position where it's feasible for you. What else was there? Looking at, obviously, the
not being too fat at the beginning.
Yeah, don't be too fat. Expectations, you know, just don't think of immediate gratification, and the why. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's everything. Should we wrap it up there?
No, I think that... Yeah, I think that covers it. Oh, look, I've got my gammy arm in the video.
Henry's got a lovely bruise.
Nice.
Yeah. So wrap up there.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Hopefully people have took something away from that, and hopefully deciding whether they're going to start prep. Hopefully we haven't scared too many people off of it.
Yeah. Obviously, that isn't the intention. We're not trying to scare people away. We're just trying to put things into perspective so they can take all of that into consideration before they make their decision. And even just like whether they're working with us or other coaches, they can take that information away from this episode and then approach their coach and have that discussion. And it just provides a lot more information going into it. So then you build a better relationship with that coach. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just before we wrap up the next episodes, can you film on Friday? Or you?
This Friday.
Yeah, this Friday.
Yeah, I should be able.
Yeah, or double check. The reason why I wanted to mention on here is that we're going to bring on another guest. So we'll do another guest episode. Should we keep it a surprise?
Yeah. Do we know who the guest is?
I've actually...
We'll keep it a surprise. Tell me after.
But... Yeah, I'll tell you afterwards. But yeah, just for everybody that's listening or watching, we will have a guest on this Friday. So yeah, that's pretty much it for this episode. As always, guys, thank you for listening and watching. As always, do what you can to help us. Like these videos, share it onto your stories, and we'll see you on the next episode. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.